What do the Royals have to do to build on this win?
Well, the key thing that happened for them yesterday was getting big hits with runners in scoring position. Their offense came back alive. In the three games prior to that, they didn't have a single hit with runner in scoring position, and they had scored a total of 5 runs. And they managed to win 2 of those games by 2-1 scores against the Orioles. You know, that was by the quality of their pitching, obviously the big arms in their bullpen. But then, and of course, one of those games was pitched by Madison Bumgarner, who hasn't given up very many runs at all. But the fact that they had no hits with runners in scoring position, and again, you know, they had the solo home run from Perez in game 1, and that was it. That was a big change in game 2, that they were able to come through third time through the order. I think Bochy mismanaged his bullpen in the 6th inning there, which helped. But even before that, they got, you know, Billy Butler had the big hit. They had a couple big hits. It seemed like they were actually doing the exact opposite. Every time they got a man into scoring position, they came up with a big hit. They need to keep doing that. That's kind of obvious. You need to score runs. But the big change between game 1 and game 2, and really between the last 3 games and game 2, was them coming through on offense.
And you know, Cliff, one of the reasons that I mean, I called the Giants to win the series. I still think they're going to win the series. But the one thing I didn't want to see, and I know you covered some of these series, my concern was after the first game that we were seeing a repeat of the, you know, the 06 Tigers, the 2008 Razor, I guess, most famously for a lot of us, or infamously for a lot of us, the 07 Rockies, where you just, a team goes on a run and all of a sudden you just get the deer in the headlights look, and the World Series becomes just sort of almost like a victory lap for the other team. And I was watching after game 1, and I was thinking to myself, okay, this the Royals have lived a pretty charmed existence. This is where the ride ends. And I think for a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people are surprised the Royals won game 2, but I guarantee you a lot of people are surprised they won the way they won. I mean, really ripping into a Giants bullpen that's been really, really good in the postseason.
Well, there's a couple things. First off, the question that I've been asked the most during this Royals run is, what happens when they finally lose a game? Can they rebound? And I've said time and again that I think that this team, you know, what's most impressed me about this Royals team is that from the wild card game on, they have not seemed fazed by the postseason. I don't see the pressure getting to them. Now, obviously, as the wins piled up, there's less and less pressure. But, you know, even in that wild card game, they stayed loose. They fell behind. They came back. They, you know, tied up, came back. So I did not think that the single loss was going to shake them, and obviously it didn't. With regard to the Giants' bullpen, you know, Bruce Bochy brought in his worst relievers last night. You know, he had a tie game in the World Series in the 6th inning. And, you know, it's kind of fascinating because, by reputation, Bruce Bochy is a far better manager than Ned Yost. But Yost has done a fantastic job with his bullpen, with the exception of the Ventura incident in the wild card game, making sure he gets straight to his best arms. And Bochy yesterday, with 2 runners on base, no outs, 6th inning tie game World Series, went to a couple of guys who have not pitched well for him at all. Mm-hmm. Gene Machi has not pitched well since June. He's given up 2 home runs in 2 and a half, before yesterday, had given up 2 home runs in something like 2 and a third innings in this postseason, and had really been left unused because of that. That's the guy you go to right away, and then after that you bring in Hunter Strickland, who's given up. Now, I know Strickland had the good inning in garbage time the night before, but 4 home runs in 4 and whatever, it was 5 innings, because he had the extra inning in game 1. You know, he went to his 2 worst arms. You're in a jam in a tie game in the World Series on the road. You have to bring in one of your high leverage guys there. That's my personal opinion. Get out of the jam, and then if you want to, I still think it would be a bad idea, but if you want to go to some of the softer parts of your bullpen, you know, with nobody on base to start a new inning, sure, give it a shot. If that guy runs into trouble, you go back. You know, he eventually wound up using 5 relievers in that inning, and he wound up with Jeremy Affeldt, who's probably the guy I would have gone to start with, because Affeldt doesn't have, he's a lefty, but he doesn't have platoon problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, this year he was actually better against righties than against lefties. He's kind of that, you know, first line of defense, give you maybe more than 3 outs type of guy for the 6th inning. You know, I mean, if you really want to get hardcore about kind of the sabermetric ideals, you maybe in that sixth inning, you go to your best guy. Maybe you go to Romo or Casilla, because that could be the game, and it was. But at the very least, go to somebody like Affeldt. And he didn't. He went to the worst guys in his pen, and he paid for it.
Yeah, it was you know, we've made this point going into the series. It was rare to see Bruce Bochy, who normally not only pushes the right buttons but gets them in order. It was rare to see him be in a situation where he just didn't have any answers. And you know, now he's got. I mean, we believe Tim Lincecum's hurt. You talked about Gene Machi. I don't know how much confidence you can have in him. I don't know when he uses Hunter Strickland again, Cliff, unless another garbage time situation shows up. I mean, he's kind of back to his guys, right? Casilla, Romo, Lopez, Affeldt still there, and of course, Yusmeiro Pettit. So he still has options, but the way Bruce Bochy likes to use his bullpen, he needs as many options as he can possibly have.
Yeah, well, you know, Pettit's an interesting case there. I think Pettit's a guy, because he gave him those six innings in the 18-inning game against the Nationals, and because he was their fifth starter, really, after Lincecum got pulled from the rotation, I think he was thinking, you know, I'm not going to use Pettit for a short outing, but Pettit has been outstanding. He hasn't given up. He's basically pitched a shutout in the, across two outings, but nine scoreless innings in the postseason. And I wrote before the series started, you know, Jay Jaffe and I did the position-by-position breakdown on the two teams, and I argued with Jay to get the bullpens even, because those guys you named, Casilla, Romo, Affeldt, Lopez, and Pettit, pitched exactly as many innings as Holland, Davis, Herrera, and Jason Frazier, and gave up fewer runs. They were actually better in the postseason to this point than the vaunted big three, plus I threw Frazier in there because he had three and a third scoreless innings and evened out the innings. this postseason, those Giants, those five Giants relievers actually pitched better, but he didn't use any of them there. So, but yeah, now he's backed himself into a corner. Now it's 1-1. It's still early in the series. A lot can go on. But yeah, Strickland's a guy you can't trust. Lincecum may be hurt. And Machi, again, you don't really trust him either. So, but he's still got five arms. So the question is, yesterday, why didn't he go to one of those five arms? Well, he paid for it, and maybe going forward he won't.
So
he won't go to the other guys.
With the series shifting back to San Francisco, the DH is not in play. It's doubtful that Billy Butler gets in the lineup. I can't see any way that he gets in the lineup, frankly. He'll probably be reduced to a pinch hitting role. Who is to step up in the absence of Billy Butler, especially considering he's kind of picked his spots during the postseason. He hasn't had the greatest postseason of anybody, but he's come through with some important at-bats and some important hits for them.
Yeah, that's absolutely the description of his postseason. The hits that he's had have been big, and we saw him get two of them last night. Coming into the series, I said basically that, you know, that he didn't. Yeah, despite the big hits that he's gotten, he hasn't necessarily been swinging a hot bat, but you see how important those hits were last night, so that is going to be a big loss. I think the guy that needs to step up, obviously on some level it's Hosmer, because he's the guy blocking Butler from first base, although really you don't want Billy Butler playing first base in a World Series game,
right,
regardless, just because of the quality of his defense. But I think it's also Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon didn't get a hit last night, if I remember correctly. Yeah, he was 0-for-4 last night. Gordon has gotten some huge hits for them along this run. I think Gordon's the guy who, you know, he's going to move up a spot in the order most likely, unless they decide to leapfrog Perez, who actually does have a couple big hits. He was cold all postseason, but got the home run in game one, the big double yesterday. If they decide to try to keep the righty-lefty thing going, leapfrog Perez over Gordon into Butler's spot. Still, I think Gordon's the guy. Maybe Perez is the guy because, like I said, he's got the two big hits. Maybe his bat is coming around. Maybe Perez is the guy they can lean on a little bit there. But it's that part of the order that Butler is being pulled from, the Hosmer, Butler, Gordon, Perez sequence kind of in the middle there. And that's where you're going to need one or two of those other guys to step up.
Yeah, it would be interesting if this series came down to a battle of catchers between Sal Perez and Buster Posey. We kind of look for that in World Series. We kind of look for the head-to-head matchup or the position-to-position matchup. And I think we look at Buster Posey, he's kind of the last man standing. He's sort of the last, I guess, the last superstar or the last sort of, the last superstar player in the World Series right now. It'd be fascinating to see Sal Perez and him kind of go head-to-head.
It would be. But Posey, you know, was actually my pick for the, because like you, I picked the Giants. On paper, you kind of almost have to pick the mm-hmm. Giants. But again, that's why they play the games. And I figured, well, hey, Posey would be a good choice for an MVP there because if I made me pick somebody. but Posey hasn't, you know, he hasn't really been all that. He's gotten some singles. I don't think he has an extra base hit yet this postseason. He didn't do much last night, or the night before, really, even despite the run outburst in game one. I don't see the one thing about catchers in the postseason, and it was one thing that was being said about Perez before those two big hits, is that, you know, a catcher wears down over the course of the season. It's one reason why Joe Mauer's batting titles were so surprising, is that, but you look back and like a guy like Jorge Posada, who played in a ton of postseasons, he was pretty much lousy in most of them, because over the course of the season, a catcher wears down. He takes so much abuse to his hands and his body. Even Yadier Molina, before he pulled the hamstring, now, of course, he had the thumb surgery, but he wasn't hitting much. And Molina's history of postseasons, he did have the big home run against the Mets, but generally not good. You don't see much from catchers in the postseason for those reasons. Then again, I can keep naming names. You go back to a guy like Thurman Munson, who had some very big postseasons. Two games in, I'd be surprised to see Posey really come up and make a big impact. But like you say, he is the best player on either one of these teams at this point, and the one superstar. You know, Bumgarner's really making a name for himself and has been for years now. He's only just 25, though. He's kind of been the breakout star of this postseason, but Posey's really the estate. You know, he's got the MVP, he's got the Rookie of the Year, he's got the two titles already, which of course Bumgarner does too. But I don't necessarily see that happening in terms of Posey breaking out, but he is the best player on either of these teams.